Chapter 63. Elderfair.
"I swear those two have been following us for at least 2 miles," Volney warned them again. "We need to lose them."
Bitterly cold winds had lashed Rugroth from the time they had set foot on the Shard Cluster after parting ways with Torbrand, Maywen, and Hardman in Tenswater. As yet the wind had kept little company with snow or sleet, but the cold carried a moist weight that breached any fortification set against it. The chill in Tenswater, by comparison, was a whimpering mewling. The road took Jen, Volney, and Gerund through a portal that led to the less inhabited northern provinces of Rugroth, while their companions proceeded through a different one leading to Mickmere in the south. The portal opened into the small and charming village of Aberley, set alongside a line of low hills of long grass. They passed the night in comfort in the Sweetberry Inn, and set off early in the morning to follow a lightly used road that hugged the Deer River to their right. By riding hard, they hoped to reach Chale a little after nightfall, and then Nowain, their intended destination a day after that. Jen glanced over his shoulder.
"They've been with us since this morning. We picked them up at the Sweetberry Inn last night. Did you notice them in the common room? Elderfair?"
"No," Volney answered.
"Did you, Gerund?"
"I noticed one of them."
"Why do you think they're Elderfair, Jen?"
"They all seem to have the same glassy look," Jen said. "It's as if they are somehow stripped of every desire except to serve the church or the prophecy. So they sit blankly, tools waiting on the workbench for a hand to put them to use."
"Do you think they're following us?" Volney whispered.
"Most likely."
"How could they possibly have tracked us from Tenswater?" Gerund asked incredulously.
"I don't think they tracked us at all," Jen speculated. "I think the church placed a few of them outside every portal as soon as they shut down Tenswater. They probably did not expect us to come this way, which is why there are only 2 rather than 20.
"Do you think that Maywen, Torbrand, and Hardman ran into trouble then?" Volney questioned.
Jen smiled wryly.
"Well, I think we could safely say that Maywen and her companions are the trouble. They do have one advantage. The portal to Lipgate is heavily used and easier to sneak into."
"Sneaking Hardman anywhere is like trying to sneak Mickick into a packed church. The man is terrifying, especially those teeth and the disgusting pants."
Gerund smiled and turned to Jen.
"What do you think the Elderfair will do? Ambushes?"
"They would if they had greater numbers. But as it is, I think they will be content to watch and report. I don't know if they have members in Chale or Nowain, but we'll need to be on our guard."
"And," Jen thought, "if they believe I'm the Ilk, they'll fear my magic."
"Do you think they know where we're going?"
Gerund followed.
"My guess is they'll assume we're heading to Mickmere or some hideout here in the north. According to Torbrand, a couple of church lackeys shouldn't know about the existence of the portal in Nowain. Chances are, however, that Ironkeep will be crawling with Elderfair. You must be wary when you fight them. They have no thought for their own lives. They will take a blade to the gut if they can put one through your heart."
"That's nice," Volney commented, after another troubled glance behind them. During the day they tried to coax the persistent pair into passing them, or into a situation where they might get a better look at them. But if Jen and his companions stopped, the 2 Elderfair stopped. If they rode toward them, the Elderfair would ride away.
"Maybe we should ambush them before we get to Chale," Gerund suggested. "If there are other Elderfair there, we cannot risk them informing others about our whereabouts, or growing in numbers to attack us."
"I thought the same," Jen agreed.
"I've tried to think of a way we could accomplish it, since they seem determined not to approach us. We could try galloping ahead and out of sight, so we could lay the trap, or we could split up and force them to follow one of us while the other 2 double back."
But then something Jen had read in the books about Triss magic came to mind.
"But let's ride on a while longer, and see if we can't scout a place that might provide us with a tactical advantage."
They rode on, the Deer River flowing steadily by, the water cold and dark, but not frozen. Jen turned his head around briefly and used magic to break the saddle buckle of the rider closest to the river. As expected, the rider tipped, and in doing so, pulled the reins to the right. The horse careened toward the river, stopping short of going in, but not before the Elderfair landed unceremoniously in icy water along a shallow bank lined with brown grass. Jen found grins on both his companions' faces.
"Here's our chance," he exclaimed. "Ride hard." heels jabbed into horseflesh as they bolted down the road, wind numbing their faces. They raced around a low hill and slowed in shock. Along a low rock wall, a handful of church soldiers stared anxiously in their direction as they fumbled with equipment in an attempt to hastily remount their horses. These wore no disguise, white tabards with a sliver of a moon covering jangling chain mail. "Cut through them!" Jen commanded, reasserting his heels into his mount's flanks. Their speedy flight and drawn swords prompted most of the soldiers to a scrambling retreat to the side of the road, the single brave soldier willing to accept the charge paying for his courage, with Jen's sword taking his arm off at the elbow. The three pushed the horses until they lathered, before slowing down and listening behind them for signs of pursuit.
"How many did you count, Jen?" Gerund asked.
"There were 8 on the side of the road. The one in the middle will likely not be joining the pursuit. If we leave the road, the grass will make for easy tracking. If we can keep ahead of them, we may be able to turn down a side road for some of the farms and take a more indirect route to Nowain. Worse comes to worse, I think we can take them. The weather, however, I do not think we can overcome." They rode on at a steady pace, necks sore from frequent twists to watch the road behind. Twice they caught sight of a single elderfair rider just behind a bend, but he would turn his horse and ride away before they could accost him. After a third occurrence, Jen grabbed his bow and quiver and hopped down.
"Take my horse ahead. Ride slow and I'll catch up to you soon."
Gerund and Volney required no explanation. Jen strung his bow and ducked into the thick grass and shrubs along the river. He blew on his hands to warm them, and hearing the expected patter of horse hooves, strung an arrow and waited. The scout emerged a short time later, riding cautiously, eyes searching. Jen pulled back into the undergrowth, waiting until the back of the rider was toward him before stepping out and loosing the arrow in one fluid motion. The rider's back arched, arms flailing, as the arrow struck the small of his back. Writhing in pain, he fell from the horse, screaming a warning. Jen sprinted forward, commandeering the horse and darting ahead to join Gerund and Volney.
"Did you kill him?"
Volney asked.
"No,"
Jen reported, taking the reins of his original horse from his friend.
"A wounded man is much more difficult to deal with than a dead one, provided they care about their men."
The three pressed forward at an even pace, the air chilling with each mile. They ate from horseback, eyes and ears wary for any sign of ambush or pursuit. During the afternoon, broad snowflakes drifted down from low, dark clouds, their density slowly increasing as the sun dropped. An inch of fresh powder lay on the ground before they paused to rest the horses and take their supper.
"We'll be easy to track now," Gerund
observed as he took a swig from the waterskin he kept near his body. The icy cold seeped through their clothing, the horses' breath shooting out in clouds from their nostrils as they stamped uncomfortably at the ground. Gerund asked,
"Are we going to have to spend the night out here?"
Before Jen could answer the question, the sound of galloping hooves behind them brought them on guard.
"They're coming for us," Jen announced. "The pursuit ends here. Mind what I told you about how they fight."
Gerund and Volney drew swords while Jen dropped to the ground and unlimbered his bow. He barely had time to knock an arrow before the first rider of the galloping charge came into view through the falling snow. The man stood in the stirrups, sword high. Upon seeing his prey, he yelled fiercely. Jen's first shot took the soldier in the chest and off the horse backward, and Jen's second shot took another elderfair in the neck. Snow flew from hooves as the remaining 6 elderfair pushed their horses and accelerated toward their victims. Jen dropped his bow and swung up onto his horse before drawing his sword.
"Take a defensive posture," Jen yelled. "Let them pass through."
Jen doubted Volney and Gerund heard a word of his instructions over the roar of hooves and the battle yells of the elderfair. The charge tore through them like an ill wind, and to their dismay, the elderfair struck at the horses rather than their riders, sending all 3 of the young men hard to the ground amid equine blood and the pained screams of wounded horses. They gained their feet as the charging soldiers slowed and wheeled about. Desperately, Jen and his companions hunted for some advantage in the terrain.
"Get into the scrub brush near the river,"
Jen yelled, sprinting toward the river's edge. Their pursuers urged their horses forward, anxious to trap their prey before they could reach the inconveniencing cover. Brittle branches snagged on clothing and broke as Jen dove in between 2 thick bushes, Gerund close behind. A grunt from Volney spun them around, their lumbering companion crashing into a bush, a gash across his shoulder bled through his clothes. The lead elderfair who had inflicted the wound nudged his horse closer for another strike. Frantically, Gerund lunged forward, chopping down on the horse's foreleg. It screamed and fell, rider crushed beneath it. Gerund grabbed Volney, straining to drag him deeper into the undergrowth. Another elderfair took his companion's place, sword arcing toward Volney's exposed, bleeding back. The stroke never fell, and by the time Gerund turned, the horse had run off, dragging its lifeless, fallen master down the road, boot stuck in the stirrup. Jen hoped Gerund wouldn't ask about the mysterious death.
"Do not dismount," one of the elderfair ordered. "They wish to take away our advantage. Do not get close. They cannot swim away. The cold will do the work for us. We need only wait."
Jen staunched Volney's bleeding while he groaned in pain, face paling.
"It's not too bad," Jen whispered, "but we need to get to Chael so he can be properly looked after. There are only four left. What do you say?"
Gerund nodded.
"I'll leave one for you." "Volney, keep still," Jen instructed. "We'll be back for you."
As one, Gerund and Jen left the protective cover of the bushes, the elderfair sizing them up.
"Would you care to fight on equal terms like men, or like cowards from horseback?" Jen challenged.
An elderfair countered, "Hypocritical. Did I not find one of my men shot in the back?
When fighting evil, an unfair advantage is no dishonour. Hiya!"
Four horses closed with them at a cautious pace. Jen and Volney stepped backward to put their backs to the brush.
"Drive them into the river!"
the leader shouted, and the horses charged them. Jen swore, he and Gerund diving away from each other and into the snagging branches. Horses crashed into the undergrowth. Hooves pounded all around them. Jen trying to get his bearings as dead leaves, twigs, and horse legs fell around him in a swirling chaos. He crouched, desperately trying to find his way out of the morass, when an elderfair jumped from his saddle, dagger in hand, and knocked him to the ground. Jen wasted no time, dissolving a vein in the man's head and killing him instantly. Grunts and groans cascaded in from everywhere, and he worked his way toward the closest sound. Finding himself behind a horse, rearing and stamping down on the brush, he chopped down on its rear leg, severing ligaments and sending the horse screaming to the ground. A quick thrust finished the rider. Grunting sounds just ahead spurred him forward. Gerund wrestled with two dagger-wielding elderfair in a dense thicket, the protruding rigid branches interfering with every grab and stroke. Jen dropped his sword and drew a knife in a fluid moment, jamming it into the calf of the nearest elderfair. The man rolled over, and Jen leaped on him, pinning his knife hand to the ground and losing his own in the process. The elderfair's companion kicked out, bruising Jen's ribs, but Jen retained his dominance while the man thrashed. Gerund recovered, hooking his arm around the throat of Jen's assailant, pulling him backward. The elderfair struck out wildly with his dagger, attempting to hit anything to release the choking grip. Using the elven art of Kuritan, Jen pummeled his victim with bruising knee strikes and headbutts until he fell silent and unconscious, while Gerund squeezed the life out of the remaining soldier a few moments later. Both young men slumped to the ground, exhausted and panting.
"Hello there?" Volney asked tentatively. "Jen? Gerund?"
"We're here,"
Jen reassured, taking stock of his bruised ribs.
"Gerund, are you hurt?"
"They gashed me three times. Only one is bad. Give me a moment and I'll have it staunched."
"Where?"
"The bad one is on the shoulder. The other two in the leg."
Jen shook his head. They needed help.
"I'll kill the wounded horses and see if I can't track down some that aren't injured."
Jen pursued the unpleasant work quickly. The heat of the battle was wearing off, the cold greedily returning to send a powerful chill down his sweating body. To his dismay, only one healthy horse remained, and Jen led it back to where Gerund, grimacing in pain, tried his best to rally Volney, whose ashen face revealed a resignation that clenched Jen's gut.
"I'm going to die,"
Volney mumbled blankly.
"Shut up," Gerund remonstrated him roughly. "You've got a scratch on your back that will easily heal. We just need to find you some warm inn and a beautiful wench to watch over you. You'll be smiling and saying stupid things in no time."
Jen checked Gerund's wounds.
"Gerund, help me get Volney up into the saddle. Can you sit behind him and hold him up?"
"I think so.
And just so you know, I can't move my arm well enough to fight with any effectiveness."
"I understand."
The snow picked up in earnest as Jen collected the essentials from their dead horses and helped his friends get set in the saddle. The elderfair horse stamped nervously at its unfamiliar riders, and Jen used some oats from a saddlebag to earn its trust and allay its nervousness. As he took the reins and led it down the road, the snow washed over them as evening deepened. The cold leached their strength from them, and Jen found his thoughts drifting, along with the snow. Memories of the brutal white wind shard he had travelled to with Torbrand resurfaced as snow collected on his cloak. Nearly 2 miles from the battle, full dark had fallen along with a few inches of fluffy powder. Jen checked on his companions, finding them unmoving and seemingly frozen together. They merely grunted in response to his inquiries about their welfare, and he couldn't help but think that at least they had the heat of the struggling horse and each other to help them push through. As he turned and considered his options, a flicker of light to his left caught his eye. Distant and weak, its orange colour could only mean one thing. With renewed energy, he pushed forward in a direct line toward the scant illumination. A light was shining through a crack in a shutter. He stopped and turned to his shivering companions.
"We need a cover story. I'm a bard named Raphael, and you two are soldiers returning home to your families. Volney, you'll be Sans, and Gerund, you'll be Loris. Brigands ambushed us on the road to Chael. Do you understand? Raphael, Sans, and Loris."
A positive-sounding groan emanating from the dark lump on the horse was enough, and Jen resumed his trek forward. A small house, barely more than a hut, resolved out of the darkness, an occasional spark from the chimney spurting out into the falling snow. A fire. Jen pulled forward more eagerly. While he hoped the home's occupants would be of a friendly nature, he would force his way in if necessary. Barking from inside startled him as he stepped up to the door, and he knocked, a woman and child inside gasping at the unexpected noise.
"Quiet, Bulger," the woman ordered nervously. "One moment, if you please."
The door opened cautiously a few moments later. A slender young woman, bundled against the weather and holding a menacing stick, searched the face at her door in the darkness. Jen executed a bow and tried his best to put on a pleasant demeanour.
"My deepest apologies, good woman, for disturbing you this night, but my companions and I are in great need. I'm Raphael, a bard, and I, with my two companions there, was travelling toward Chael when a band of brigands fell upon us. They are injured, and we are desperate and cold this evening. Would you kindly provide us with some assistance for the night? We can compensate you."
While he talked, a dark-haired boy, no older than 5, came around the door and grabbed onto his mother's leg. The woman stared at Jen for such a long time that he started to feel awkward. At last, she seemed to relax.
"Get back inside, Tolliver, and put another log on the fire."
To Jen, she said, "I've a small place here, but I will help as I can. I am Lena."
"Our deepest thanks, Lena. Is there anywhere to stable the horse?
There is a mine entrance in the hill just to the right of the house. I've a few chickens I keep inside. Your horse can stay there." "Eldaloth bless you, Lena."
Jen helped his companions down and practically dragged them inside. The house was indeed small. A front room with a table and 3 chairs welcomed them with a cheery heat. Another room lay beyond, a blanket hanging over a doorway, the fireplace open to the rooms on either side. A small kitchen to the right of the main room revealed evidence of a neat and orderly person. Dishes and bowls had been stacked evenly on rough wooden shelves. Most notable, however, were intricate carvings sitting on the fireplace mantel and lining a single shelf that ran all the way around the room. The boy poked his head through the blanket that separated them from the other room as Lena pulled the table away from the fire and into the kitchen to allow room for the 2 injured men to lay on the floor. Bulger, a black and white mutt, reclined by the fire.
"This one has a cut to his back," Jen explained. "The other has wounds to his shoulder and legs. I will see to the horse and return shortly. Again, my thanks."
"One moment, Raphael," Lena called. "Let me fetch the lantern. It is a dark night."
After the warmth of the house, the cold slapped Jen's face and watered his eyes. He saw to the horse as quickly as he could and ran back, knocking the snow off his boots before pushing the door open and plunging back into the welcome warmth. Lena had removed her winter clothing, and Jen studied her, noting her youth. A ragged brown dress spoke of her poverty, but her face, with thin, delicate features, reflected a kind aspect, especially the ice-blue eyes that now carefully regarded the angry wound on Volney's back. She pushed her long brown hair behind an ear and turned back to Jen, who removed his own cloak.
She regarded him with an odd expression for a moment before snapping into action.
"Help your friend with his shirt so I can get a look at the shoulder. Tolliver, get the pot and fill it halfway with water from the barrel."
"Do you know some healing lore?"
Jen asked hopefully as he crossed to Gerund.
"I do. My husband used to always hurt himself in that ridiculous mine of his."
"Where is he?"
"Harry?"
"Dead. I'm sorry," Jen apologised.
"Collapsed on him this spring," Lena explained. "He thought he'd see us rich from that stupid hole. As it was, we could barely pay Grimson the rent for this place."
Jen pulled the shirt from a frowning Gerund.
"And the carvings? His work too? They are wonderful."
"No," she blushed. "Those are mine. I tried to sell a few to pay for this place. Been a bit slow lately. Just returned from Shale yesterday. Sold enough for food for the winter. Not sure what I'll do for the rent."
Jen heard the indirect plea. He said,
"I think my companions and I will help you along as reward for this service."
She blushed again, and Jen smiled to reassure her. After several minutes, Lena instructed Jen to clean Volney's wounds with the hot water while she continued to mash some sort of paste in the kitchen. She eyed Jen while she worked the pestle.
"I don't think I've ever heard of brigands bothering with anyone or anything this far north."
"Just unlucky, I guess," Jen answered evasively.
"A whole patrol of church soldiers passed by earlier today, probably heading toward Aberley."
"We passed them on the road," Jen said. "The brigands hit us soon after. They came out of the hills, probably after my earnings. Fortunately, these two, Sands and Loris, are soldiers who were returning home for the winter. They fought them off."
"You've got yourself a sword too?"
"Yes, a necessity in the trade."
"Let's get to work," she said, handing him a cup. "Get them to swallow this. It will help them sleep while we do the more painful bits. You seem to be moving a bit stiffly too."
"One of the blackguards caught me in the ribs during the scuffle. Bruised, not broken. There is no need to worry for me."
"You may feel differently in the morning," she said.
Jen thought she might be right. Before long, Volney and Gerund had passed out, and Jen assisted Lena as she expertly cleaned and applied a rough stitching to the more serious wounds. Next came the bitter paste and the tying of bandages.
"If it weren't for the draught," Lena said, "the paste would have them screaming and pulling up the floorboards. It will keep the cuts clean until they can heal. Are you sure you don't want me to look at those bruised ribs?"
"No, thank you."
Jen slumped against the wall, and Bolger sauntered over and put his head in Jen's lap. Jen scratched behind his ears as Lena went to the kitchen to tidy up. She regarded him questioningly a few times as she worked, and when finished, she crossed into the adjacent room to put Tolliver to bed. Jen let his mind wander to the Shalane and Miral, tiredness pushing the lids of his eyes down. He barely woke when Lena stoked the fire again, but vivid dreams took him down into the dark. A blast of cold wind and Tolliver's excited shouting brought them all out of slumber early the next morning. Jen, surprised at how well he had slept, pushed himself away from a protesting Bolger and leaned against the wall. A sleepy Lena emerged from the other side of the hanging blanket and pulled Tolliver away from the door and closed it.
"The snow's as tall as Bolger, and it's still snowing," he exclaimed.
Bolger barked as if in reply. Jen frowned.
"It appears we may need to trespass a little longer on your kindness,"
Jen apologised.
"Well, I knew that after one look at Sans's wounds, he won't be fit to go anywhere for a good spell. He's young, though, so I think he could probably ride in a week."
Jen cursed inwardly. He needed to get to the Shalane. Gerund's eyes slowly opened, and Volney, lying face down, eventually worked up enough energy to grunt something unintelligible. Lena set herself to preparing a meal, while Jen checked on his companions before wandering the room to inspect the carvings. Intricately detailed figures of rustic men and women engaged in everyday tasks evoked smiles from Jen's face. Another small shelf by the door held a variety of creatures. An Uyumark basher stood near a ferocious boar, and a majestic falcon appeared ready to devour a nearby toothy lizard.
"Those are mine,"
Tolliver stated possessively, both as an explanation and a warning.
"Ma promised she won't sell them."
"Your mother is very skilled. I might buy a piece or two myself before I go."
"You can't buy these,"
Tolliver exclaimed.
"He doesn't mean those, Tolliver dear,"
Lena piped in from the kitchen. Jen chuckled and the little boy relaxed. Tolliver grabbed his hand.
"I'll show you one you should buy," he said.
Jen let Tolliver lead him around the room to a low shelf by the bedroom door just by the mantel. He pointed a finger upward.
"Get that one."
Jen immediately picked out the one he meant and felt a surge of panic. There, staring back at him, was a perfect likeness of himself, two hands high. Jen slowly lifted it down, marvelling. Lena had carved the major scars of his face nearly perfectly, and his dark guard uniform had a notch where he wore his Defender of the Faith pin. Jen turned toward Lena, who grinned as she sliced an apple.
"I knew who you were the moment I saw your face peering at me from the dark," she explained. "Probably wouldn't have let you in otherwise."
Jen shook his head, chagrined. "You must have seen me in person to have crafted this so well."
"Harry took us to Mickmere to see the Shalane and the Har Ulric ride out for Elder Lurie Mora. I saw you on your horse next to the First Mother. Your face was unforgettable. No offence."
"None taken," Jen said. "There's no news of what happened on the Shroud Lake Shard reached this far?"
"If you mean that bit about you being the ilk and being dead, then yes, it has. Set your mind at ease. Most folks couldn't believe it, and when you showed up at my door alive and running around on a leg you aren't supposed to have, then I just figured I was right about you. I have an eye for people, Lord Blackshear, and even if I had never heard one of those astounding stories of your bravery, I would have known what kind of man you are."
"I thank you for your trust."
She nodded. "Your companions I do not remember, however."
"Let me introduce you. The one by the fire is Gerund Kildan, a prince of Tol Nor and a dark guard. The one on the floor is Volney Tarun, a Rugothian and son of General Tarun. He is also a dark guard. These two have supported me in my recent difficulties."
Lena wrung her hands. "Such distinguished company for a poor widow such as myself. I am sorry if you find my care a little more humble than you are used to."
To Jen's surprise, Volney spoke, voice thick with emotion, if a bit sleepy.
"After what we have passed through, dear lady, you are Elder Loth's own daughter, and this is Erolinda. Your face will always be the most beautiful to me."
Lena blushed, and Gerund raised his eyebrows. Tolliver pulled on Jen's leg and handed him the lizard carving.
"You be the lizard, I'll be the falcon. You try to eat Bulger, and I'll stop you."